Bibles tonight, if you would, and open to two different places, Galatians chapter 5 and John chapter 15. Galatians chapter 5 and John chapter 15. I don't believe that there is any Christian that is alive that doesn't want to be a fruitful Christian. I don't think there's anybody that's really saved and born again and reads the Bible and believes what the Bible says that doesn't want to bear fruit in their life and be a fruitful Christian. And yet when we look at many of our lives are unfruitful and they don't bear the kind of fruit that the Lord would have us to do. As we read the Bible, we find some things in the Bible that are contrary to modern Christianity and modern religion. In modern Christianity today, they give you the idea that the only way you can bear fruit is to win souls and to win people to Jesus. The big push is put on soul winning today, and the idea is if you're not winning 15 people to the Lord every week, then you're not a fruitful Christian and you're not bearing fruit. Now, the problem is that doesn't bear witness to the Word of God and what the Bible said. There's more to being a fruitful Christian than just winning people to Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard me preach enough. You ought to win people to Jesus Christ. You ought to want to see people saved. You ought to make an effort to see people saved. But the Bible tells us there's more fruits to be born in a Christian's life than just merely winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity, and even fundamental Christianity, has a lot of things in them today that are not right. The big push on soul winning while leaving the Bible away from the pulpit is not right with the Word of God. The big push on the idea that if you don't have a big church, you don't have any kind of church is not scriptural and is not found in the Word of God. The big idea today that if you don't have something big, giant, and colossal is not doing any good has no scriptural basis whatsoever. The Bible says the judgment seat of Christ, our work would be tried of what sort it is and not what size it is. Amen? Amen and amen. You're welcome. Thank you. It didn't cost nothing. The offering has already been taken. The Bible tells us a lot of things that are contrary to modern Christianity and modern belief. Modern Christianity believes that if it doesn't do any visible results right at the moment, that it isn't any good. We live in a world today that all they're concerned with is visible results. What did it do? What happened right then? I mean, human nature's that way. You come back from a meeting, well, how many people got saved? Well, you say nobody got saved. You don't know how many got saved. You don't know. You'll never know till you get home to heaven how many people get saved. Amen? I mean, last Sunday here, I preached Sunday morning salvation. Nobody got saved. Preached Sunday night, all the Christians, and somebody come forward crying like a baby and got saved. Amen? You don't ever know what God's Word is able to do. Open it and put it out. It'll do the work. But we live in a time when Christianity has departed from the Word of God. And because they've departed from the Word of God, they've got some things that are not right. In Galatians chapter 5, I want you to notice what the Bible says the fruits of the Spirit is. Now, you know how you can tell what kind of tree you got in your yard, don't you? You go out and your tree got peaches on it, you can deduct from deductive reasoning what kind of tree you have. You have a peach tree, amen? Doesn't take you long to figure that out, and it doesn't take you long to know it. Now, if you got a peach tree like me, you just got a stub sticking in the ground as dead as a hammer, amen? I tried to plant two or three, and they never did. I've dunged them and told them they got about a couple of years to get right, and they never did get right, amen? But when they did, I just pulled them up by the roots, and that was it. I burned them, amen? Put them in the fire. But the Bible said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now you want to be a fruitful Christian, have those fruits in your life. Amen. More to it than just soul winning. That's not all there is. All right, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. In verse 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Good cleansing agent, amen. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, Excepted abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then one of the greatest statements made in the Bible, for without me ye can do nothing. Whenever we come to realize that and fully grasp it in our own life, we'll be a better Christian than what we are. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we begin the message tonight. Now, Father, we thank you for what our hearts have already been able to enjoy. Lord, we're thankful for the good time of worship that we had in the worship service tonight. We believe these people that sang in the congregational songs was our time to worship and to lift up thy name. We thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have been blessed with, what our hearts have been able to take part in tonight. We pray that what's began would just be a continuation on. We pray the Holy Spirit of God would move in a real way in this service tonight. We're tired of just another time at church. We're tired of just another message, another time to come and meet together. Lord, we want each service to be a special service. We want each service for the Spirit of God to come and move and meet with us in a real way. And I pray tonight the Holy Spirit of God would take complete control of everything that is said and done, that it might be done for thee. Lord, I'm unworthy and unfit and undeserving to stand and preach this word tonight. I come claiming and having no merit or goodness of my own, but the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. And I pray that in this hour, the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up, that he'd be given a name that's above every name. And Lord, as he's lifted up, all men might be drawn unto him. Bless and honor the word of God. Speak to the hearts of people that are here. Lord, if there's one here lost tonight, may tonight be their night of salvation. And Lord, if there's Christian people here that need to be spoken to, whether it be an encouraging word or whether it be a rebuking word, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would administer the word of God just the way you'd have it in the heart of every person here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray all these things. Amen. Now in John chapter 15, Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, I am the true vine. And he says, the only way you can bear fruit is to abide in him. Now, abide in the sense of staying in fellowship and doing the things that are right with the Lord. And you notice as you come down through that passage, there's a progression that ought to take place in every Christian's life. In verse 2, the Bible says this fruit, or the branch, beareth fruit. And then in verse 2, it says more fruit. And then by the time you get to verse 5, it says much fruit. Every Christian, as they grow older in the Lord, ought to have that kind of progression in your life. When you get saved, you ought to begin to bear fruit. The longer you're saved and the more you know the Lord, you ought to be bearing more fruit. When the end of your life comes and the time comes for you to go meet the Lord, you ought to be bearing much fruit for the Lord. The older we go, we ought to get the wiser. We ought to get to know the Lord more, and we ought to get to know people more, and we ought to get to know ourselves more so that we can bear more fruit and much fruit in this life. Tonight, I don't know about you, but I want to be a Christian that bears much fruit. I want to covet the best gift, amen? If I'm going to covet something, I want to covet something worth coveting, amen? I want to bear much fruit. I want to be a Christian that abounds in much fruit, because the Bible tells us in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, tonight, I want to bring a message on why saved people are unfruitful. Why Christian people do not bring forth fruit. Now, if you want to know why you don't bring forth fruit, then listen, you may hear. If you want to know why your life is void of fruit for God, listen, and you might hear. All right, reason number one, you're lazy. Amen? Now, this is going to be a deep theological one here tonight. If it gets too much over your head, you can get it on tape and get it later on. Amen? Now, the first reason that many people don't bear more fruit in their life is because they're lazy. We live in a time in America when American people are the laziest people on the face of this earth. We live in a time when people, all they want is a handout, somebody to take care of them, somebody to pat them on the back and pay their way. We live in a time when American people think that the world owes them a living and all they got to do is sit back and the government will take care of them and feed them and give them everything they need.
Now, you know what's wrong? This generation is made up of lazy people. That's what's wrong. The Bible tells us about the lazy man. The Bible says the way of a slothful man is as a hedge of thorns. The Bible said that the slothful man hides his hand in his bosom and he won't bring it out to put something in his mouth or to feed himself and take care of himself. The Bible said that a man is so cotton-picking lazy that he won't even take his hand out of his pocket to get some food and put it in his mouth. You said, I don't believe it. Didn't think you would, so I thought I'd tell you the truth about it and show you it's true. When I worked at the city of Dayton up there in Dayton, Ohio, we had some of these CETA program workers. Amen. You ever get around them CETA workers? They wouldn't work. They wouldn't hit a lick. Didn't want to hit a lick. That's why they were CETA workers. Amen. You got to pay for them. You pay for them. And made me mad. Why? Because I was working, paying taxes and paying their salary to do nothing. I had to do their job too. Amen. You said, well, you shouldn't get mad like that. Maybe I shouldn't, but I did. Amen. And they brought one there. They were tearing down a garage building. My dad was over there watching them, and there's this colored man. And all morning long, he had one hand in his pocket, and he had one hand free. And what they're doing, just tearing down blocks and everything, and they were throwing them on a truck. Well, he'd go over with one hand, bend over and pick up something with the truck, and then he'd, off the ground, he'd take over and throw it in the truck and keep that one hand in his pocket. Well, my dad looked at him, one of his weaker moments. He got feeling sorry for the fella. Said, well, he must have a paralyzed hand or arm. And a coffee truck come around. And when he did, Dad went and got him coffee and donuts. And that takes two hands, you understand? And here's the colored fellow over here, and Dad brought him the coffee and donuts. He went just like this. I mean, he wasn't no more paralyzed than anybody you ever seen. And brother, that's the American age that we live in today. They want to keep one hand in their pocket and do just the least they possibly can to get by with. And the trouble is, it's rubbed off on Christian people, and we got a bunch of lazy Christians who want God to do something for them that they could do for themselves. Let me tell you, God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. Don't come in on a test time and sit down there and you haven't studied. You've been too lazy to study. You haven't taken time to study and bow your head and say, God, I've been too lazy to study. I haven't studied and I prepared. Help me get an A on this test to show you how much your grace will avail. Don't tempt God because of your sin. Amen. God never does for anybody what they can do for themselves. Bob Jones Sr. said, God will never use the supernatural when the natural will do. God, don't ask Him to perform miracles. Don't ask Him to do for you what you could do for yourself. People today are lazy. People don't want to work. They don't care about working. They don't want to do any kind of work at all. One kind of man that God never uses, it's a lazy man. One kind of man that God never finds a place for in His service, and that's a lazy man. If you're lazy, God has no place for you to work. If you're lazy, God has nothing for you to do. If you want to work, if you're willing to work, and you want to do something for the Lord, He'll have a place for you to do. Did you notice when you read the Bible, every time God called somebody to do something, they were already busy working? When He called David, he was tending some sheep, he was working. When He called Joshua to be the leader, he had already been a soldier and a fighter and a warrior. When He called the disciples, they were fishing. One was sitting there at the seat of the custom. Every time God calls a man to do something, that man is busy, occupied, doing something else. And if you want God to use you, get off your lazy southernmost hemisphere and begin to work. Amen. Somebody said, well, I wish I knew the Bible like Dr. Ruckman. You're too lazy to study, so quit wishing. Amen. Oh, I wish I could preach like Dr. Ruckman. You're too lazy to work at it, so quit wishing. You're just wasting your time and everybody else's around you. Oh, I wish I was spiritual as so-and-so. Yeah, you're too lazy to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. You're too lazy to make it for Sunday school and prayer, and Wednesday night comes around. You figure you'd just stay at home with the family rather than come to church. Oh, I wish I was a spiritual man. Oh, I wish I was a... You know what our problem is? We're just too lazy. We won't get out and do what we have to do. We won't get out and work. Listen, anything in this life that is worthwhile has always been difficult. Anything in this life that's always been of any value has always been difficult. You say, well, I got saved. That was just as easy as falling off of a log, but it cost heaven the most precious jewel it had. It cost Jesus Christ everything that He had, laying down His life in a painful, agonizing death. And anything that in this life was worthwhile to get was always difficult, and it was always hard to get. One of the greatest lessons that some of you young men in school are going to learn is not going to be a Bible truth. is going to be a truth about a shovel. It's going to be a truth about a hammer. It's going to be a truth about getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you wake up and your body says, shut that stupid alarm clock off. What in the world does it think it's doing going off at this time of the morning? And you roll over and your body says, oh, just lay here. Man, you deserve it. Rest. God will provide. I mean, the Lord promised to provide your need. He'll give you what? Oh, just lay here and take it easy. You're so tired, your hands hurt, your feet hurt, your back hurts. Oh, I tell you, you got more aches and pain. Some of the greatest things that you're going to learn is to get up out of that bed and go to work. One of the greatest lessons some of you are going to have to learn is just to put your shoulder to the plow and look forward, to press forward, and to do some real work for the first time in your life. Bible said it's good for you to bear the yoke in your youth. It's good for you to be able to work. The Bible said, I went by the vineyard of the slothful man. What was there? The thorns were built up. And he said the nettles had grown up and the wall had broken down. And the Lord looks in some of our life and he says, I went by the life of the slothful man. And what happened? The weeds of this world, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches have choked the word of God in his life. He's become unfruitful in this life. Lazy. 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 Well, I wish I knew the Bible more. Quit wishing, start studying.
Amen.
I wish I could pray better. Quit wishing, start praying better. I wish I could be more faithful to God. Quit wishing, start doing it. Amen. Don't think about it. Don't sit around and debate about it. Don't wish you could do it. Some people in this world are so lazy. I mean, a girl stood there one day and her father looked at her and said, oh, honey, move her. He said, you're standing on hot coal. She looked down and said, which foot?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you about the same way. Amen. Somebody said, get working, get doing. How much? How long? I mean, the only fear American people have today is that their coffee break won't run into their lunch hour. Amen. I mean, the only fear they have today is they're not going to have to work a 40-hour week. And the only fear American people have today is the fear of they'll have to work too much. I get convicted about it a lot of times. I really do. I get convicted about being lazy. Now, some of you never been lazy, so you're not nothing to get convicted about. Some of you just worked and did the best all you can, worked the hardest you can all your life. But at times, I look at myself, healthy body, able to get up and move around, and I see people that can't. And that convicts me. That convicts me. I sat beside the bed of a man who was dying one time. The man waited till his deathbed to get saved. He lived about a year after that, but he was in and out of the bed, sick, dying, home one week, in the hospital the next week, home for a month, in the hospital for a month. But he really got saved. He really got to know the Lord as his Savior. Before he got saved, he was in the numbers racket. He used to take bets on anything, any odds you could get, anything. And when he got saved, that's the first thing he did. He called, phoned up his bookie and said, you'll have to come get these tickets, because he said, I'm not going to do it anymore. Really got saved. I mean, prayed, asked the Lord to forgive him, asked the Lord to save him. I came into his room one time. He just a grown man, about 60 years old, just crying like a baby. Crying. And I went in there. I said, what's the matter? Because he had a lot of pain. He hurt a lot. And I said, are you hurting? He said, no, I'm not hurting physically. He said, I'm hurting spiritually. And he said, Jimmy, I've wasted my whole life. And he began to cry. And he said, you know, he said, of all the people in our family, he said, you're one of the few people that came up here and dealt with me about my soul. And he said, I want to tell you something right now. He said, if I ever get where I can crawl, he said, I'm going to crawl in the front door of your church. He said, would it embarrass you? I said, brother, no, we might get it on that day, amen. He said, would it embarrass you if I crawled in your church? And he said, no, it's just serious as anything you're saying. He said, if I ever get able enough to crawl inside of your church on my hands and knees and lay there on a pew, he said, I want to come and hear you preach. And I left that room convicted of God. Bunch of stinking, lazy Christian people. Well, I'd have made it for Sunday school last week. Oh, my back was hurting so bad, preacher. I got a hangnail, and you know, just, I mean,
it just embarrasses me so much to go to church with 9 nails good and 1 messed up. You know, I just can't seem to do it. Well, you know, Cousin Gertrude came from up in Alabama, didn't bring anything to wear. What'd I do, come naked? I mean, you know, I never been able to understand that, amen? I never been able to figure that out. They're running around nude or what, all week long? Yeah, Cousin so-and-so come in from Alabama, they didn't bring nothing to wear. What do you mean? They're naked all week, don't have any clothes, you ain't got no clothes, ain't got no money. You know what I tell them? I say, go get them. I'll take them right now and buy them some clothes if they'll come to church. Amen. Shut your mouth and quit lying, amen? Yeah. You know what's wrong? Too lazy, too lazy, too lazy. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ beside men and women who shed blood, sweat, and tears to serve Jesus Christ and to work for Him, who gave up their life, their health, their wealth, and all that they had to go forward for God. Amen. We sit around a bunch of fat American people as lazy as anybody you ever seen. Now, you know why? Just too lazy. Oh, I want to win souls, Brother Jim. I want to win people to Jesus Christ. Don't tell me that. You're too lazy to pass out tracts. If you're too lazy to witness, if you're too lazy to come on visitation, don't cry on my shoulder. Lazy, lazy, lazy. The Bible said that laziness, the slothful man, he's a brother to another man. And that's a great waster, a waster. The next reason why we don't bear fruit is we're wasteful. We're wasteful. American people are the most wasteful people on the face of this earth. Nobody can contest that. Nobody can even begin to debate the issue, because American people are the most wasteful people on the face of this earth. Now, some of you and I know this. Some of you people here throw enough in the garbage can every week to feed a family or two or three or four. Amen? I mean, some of you throw it away. I talked to a man who worked at the stores, and it sometimes kind of upsets me and makes me mad. I mean, the milk goes off of out of date at the grocery store. You know what they do? Pull that milk off the shelf and pour it down the drain. They said when the hurricanes hit, when these things came through Frederick the last time, these grocery stores, their electricity went out, and they had, just meat, cheese, all kinds of dairy products there, and electricity went out. You know what happened? Winn-Dixie ran up here. They brought in a dump truck, a garbage truck, right behind that thing, and took all the meat, all the cheese, and threw it in there and hauled it to the dump and buried it so nobody could get it. That's stupidity besides being wasteful. Amen. I mean, American people have become the most wasteful people on the face of this earth. American people waste their money. Some of us don't have much to waste. That's one good thing about it. Amen. But American people waste their money. Some of us have wasted money. Some of us had a lot of money pass through our hands. We just wasted it and let it go on. Some of us have taken money that ought to be given to God, and we've used it on ourselves for selfish motive and for selfish reason and for things that shouldn't have been done, when we should have taken that money and give it to God. I'm not talking about doing without. I'm not talking about providing for your family. You know me. You know me better than that. I believe that if you serve God, love God, and you're not lazy and you'll work and pray, God will provide every need that you've got. But I'm talking about people that had money that belonged to God and they've not given it to God and it's been wasted. You know, I found out God always gets His money. Now, the easiest place to give is right here in church. Hallelujah, amen. Whether it's this church or someplace else, it's the easiest place to give it. Nice air conditioning, you sit here, look around, sing, have you a good time. Offering place, come by, good looking men taking the offering. I mean, just smiling at you and happy, will assist you in any way, give you whatever you need and take care of you. That's the easy way to give. I'll tell you another way you can give. You can give it to hospital. Now, you can give down there. You got some of God's money, you better give it to Him. You got something that belongs to the Lord, you better give it to Him. You can give it to the hospital. The Lord will get what money is His, and you better not waste it. We waste not only our money, but we waste our time. We waste our time. We complain about not having much time, and then we waste the time we do have. Well, I just don't have time to do anything. People tell me every now and then, Brother Jim, I'm just so busy, you wouldn't believe it. I said, tell me about it, would you? Amen. And he said, I just got so much to do, you just couldn't believe that any person could have so much to do. I said, is that right? And then yet take the time they do have and waste it. People sit around and read magazines, wasting the time. People sit around and watch television, wasting the time. People sit around and look at the newspaper, wasting the time. People sit around and the time they do have, they waste. You ever get convicted about wasting time?
You may get some of the money back that you wasted, but you'll never get time back. You'll never call it back. You'll never get any of the hours that you've wasted away. One day we'll get account. We waste not only our time, but we waste our words.
Amen.
We waste our words. You ever waste a word?
Amen.
Foolishness? Jesting? Amen. Do you ever waste any words? You ever have any words you spit out you wish you could swallow them? Huh? You wish you'd ate them before you died and digest them real good before you did speak them? You ever have any words like that? You ever have any words you wasted? You ever have any words that you spit out that you wish you wouldn't have said? You ever have any time you just stand around, you just talking to be talking? You ever do that? Well, you know, just standing around there, just talking to be talking. You ever do that? You women, do you ever do that? Huh? Well, I think I'll call so-and-so on the phone. How you doing? Doing all right? How's the kid? Well, we're doing all right. How's things over there? Well, pretty good. Could be better. How's the weather? Oh, it's all right. Wasn't just talking to be talking. I think I'll call so-and-so. Wasting. Why don't you call somebody on the phone about Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Why don't you get your phone book and go through the whole thing? Dial 5 people every day. See if they're saved. Talk to them about the Lord. See if they need to be born again. Witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. We waste our words and we waste our talents. Our talents. If you have a talent, it's best that you use it for the Lord. It's best that you give it to Him and use it. The reason some of us don't bear more fruit in our life is because we don't use the talent that God has already given to us. God is not going to give you some more until you use what you got. God is not going to give you more until you take advantage of what you've got and use it for Him. If you've got a talent, you best not hide it in the earth. You better use it. And then some people waste their life. Some people waste their life. A lot of people have wasted their life. A lot of people have been sad that they wasted their life, but nonetheless, they still wasted it. Some of you sitting right here tonight, you know what you're doing? You're wasting your life. You're living your life for yourself, and you're wasting it. You're living your life to do what you want to do, and you're wasting it. We live in a world today full of people who want to do what they want to do when they want to do it, at just the time they want to do it and the way they want to do it. We live in a world of people that says, well, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I want to be my own man. I want to be my own woman. I don't want no mom and dad bossing me around. Ain't no preacher going to stand in the pulpit and tell me what to do. Ain't no Christian's going to advise me and try to poke that Bible down my throat and cram religion down me. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Go ahead, stupid. Amen. Go ahead. Waste your life. And when you get to the end of the way, don't point your finger at me and tell them and point it at me and say, I never told you. Because I'm telling you. If you don't live your life for Jesus Christ, your life is a complete waste. If your life is not lived for God, it is void of meaning and purpose. It has no purpose. It has no reality. It's wasted. It's wasted. Never forget one of the saddest things that I ever seen. We were in Bible school. There was, I think, 13 of us that started. One of us was a devil. I don't know which one it was. But we were here, 12, 13, just a small group. The Lord bless them. We had a good time. I was encouraged by several men that were here. I'd never been able to do anything as far as talent and ability, but there's a lot of men that encouraged me. When I came to Bible school, I was 17 when I left. I turned 18 when I was here. And there's some young men here, a little bit older than me. They're real encouragement to me. I mean, they were bold. I mean, bold as a lion. Man, they didn't fear anybody. I don't guess maybe they didn't have enough sense to be afraid. I don't know, but they wasn't afraid. Man, we used to go down on the street and say, well, we had a good crowd. In those days, we used to have a good crowd downtown. Man, I've seen Dr. Rowe and me down there and drawing, and it'd be nothing to see maybe 75, 100 people stop listening to the message. I mean, there's been so many people in downtown Pensacola that, I mean, 4 people standing on each corner couldn't put a track in everybody's hand that came by. I mean, used to have some good time. And some of those guys that preach, and boy, I tell you, I'd listen to some of those men preach down on the street. Man, I tell you, I got envious. I coveted.
I said, boy, I will. I wish I could preach like that. I said, man, I will. I wish I could get things together like that and lay that thing out and just get up there and deliver that thing like that. I just wish I could do that. I really did. And one of the young men who was there was an encouragement to me for a while. He left school in his last year. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word of God, and he became unfruitful. And he left, and he told us, he said, you guys are a bunch of chumps. He said, you are. He said, here you are studying this Bible school. You're going to be a preacher. You're not going to make no money. You're never going to make anything out of yourself in this life. He said, I'm going to leave and make me some money. He said, I'm going to be somebody. He said, I'm going to leave. He left. He went away. He made some money. Owned his own company. And got to be rich. One day, the Lord said, it's time to stop. He climbed up on a roof on a Baptist church. The wind blew a ladder back across, and he fell across electrical lines and was burnt to a crisp. They had his funeral. And I came into his funeral, and I walked in the room. I didn't even think it was the same person. At first time when I seen it, I didn't think. I got back at an angle, looked in the side, and I knew it was him. I seen his mother at the funeral, and I knew it was him. And I sat there that day, and I looked at it, I just couldn't believe it. I said, Lord, is that the same person that I used to see standing on that corner just preaching the Word of God? I said, Lord, is that the same man that I used to see down there just passing out tracts to anybody and everybody? I said, is that the same man who used to spend hours in prayer and reading the Word of God? And there he was. He married and had a little baby. Died. He's not bearing any fruit anymore because he wasted his life. Don't waste it. I'll tell you another reason why Christians don't bear fruit. Because they're afraid. They're afraid. That's what's wrong with God's people in America today. Got a bunch of chickens for Christians. Amen and amen and amen. We have a bunch of Christians who are afraid of what their neighbors will think, who are afraid of what the people down the street will think, who are afraid of what their relatives will say. And we have a bunch of Christian people that, because of fear of man, do not live for God. The Bible tells us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's like a trap. When you get more afraid of man than you are afraid of God, then you're in a trap that the only way to get out is to begin to fear God more than you fear man. Many a people have fell into a trap. Let me tell you, it is sad to say that many a preacher has fell into a trap that because of the fear of man, he's been ensnared by the devil and is compromised and is no longer bearing the fruit that he used to bear for God. Now, some of you, when you get out in the ministry, you say, well, Brother Jim, you don't have to worry about me compromising. No, sir, bless God, I'll tell you what, I ain't never going to come. Yeah, okay, all right. We'll see. We'll see. You get a church about 20 people. Amen. You may start off with 30. You may have a big group. Amen. But you get a church about 20 people. Here comes this man, his wife, his sister, his mother, his father, his aunt and uncle. Here's 25 more. They all join your church at the same time. Ah, the fastest growing church in town. Ah, we doubled our attendance in one Sunday. Here we are, super colossal growth, the fastest growing. And you double your attendance. Instead of preaching to 20, you're looking at 50 people. Now, you get to know that family, you get to be friends with them. You like them. They're all tithers. They give real good. They're there every service. They sing loud, they say amen, glory, hallelujah. I mean, they just cheer you on like they preach you to death every time you step in the pulpit. Every now and then come by and slip a $20 bill in your hand and you're ready to shout, amen? And you find out some sins in their life. You found out this fellow over here is a moose or something like that. I never wanted to be that, amen? There's some things I wanted to be, but I never did want to be a moose, amen? He's got one of them rings he flashes around. And you get over there in John where it says, Jesus said, in secret, I've done nothing.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
and you've got notes in your Bible, it's not good to have secrets and oaths. Well, I better not say that. Because if I do, brother so-and-so leaves, and sister so-and-so, and his mother, and his aunt, and his uncle, and his cousin. You know what? You're gonna be tempted. You are going to be tempted because of the fear of man to compromise your preaching. And listen, there are going to be times when you look out through there and you'll know that certain so-and-so does this, so-and-so does that. You say, better not hit that too hard. I better not stomp on that too long. I mean, I bet just better not get on smoking. You know so-and-so now. They're good people, but they like their cigarette after the meal, in the morning, at night, after lunch, breakfast, supper, and in between, and after, and before. I mean, they're not a chain smoker, just two or three packs a day. I mean, they're really fine Christian people, and I better not stomp it too hard.
Amen.
You better hit it.
Amen.
You better hit it. When you get in a place where you fear man more than you fear God, you're in an unscriptural position. Don't ever get in a place where you fear man more than you fear God. And that's why God has wrote Ichabod across some of the churches in America today, and are as dry as cracker juice and as void of the Spirit of God as hell itself, because they've ceased to be afraid of God. Brother, you better fear God. Afraid. Christian people afraid. Afraid what people think of them. Some of you young people ain't got the guts to stand up for Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you're afraid what your friends will think of you.
Well, here comes old Screwball.
Here comes old preacher. Hey, Deacon. Hey, Deke, how you doing, buddy? Hey, Deke, how's it going, man? You're afraid. You don't have the courage to do it. You don't have the guts to do it. And some of you men, you don't have the courage on work to witness. You don't have the courage at work to take a stand where you ought to stand because you're afraid of man. You know, said that old J. Frank Norris, when he died, he wanted to write on his tombstone, "Here lies a man who never feared the face of any man nor turned his back in the day of a battle." Say what they want. Talk about him what they want. But he wasn't afraid of nobody. You know, old General William Booth one time was on a ship getting ready to sail. And as he was waiting to sail, there was a famous man standing next to him. I think it was old Rudyard Kipling, a famous writer. Famous man there standing. But General William Booth was on the ship, and there was a famous man beside him. The ship wasn't able to sail right on time. They just standing there kind of talking one thing and another. And of course, General William Booth was a real well-known man all over England, the places where he was at, and preaching, telling people about the Lord, and had been to a lot of different countries, and people knew who he was, and they was talking, two great men standing there together. And here come this little group of Salvation Army people. Here they come down the street, and they're going to have a street meeting. And here they come, and one or two guys singing, you know, just some old common Christian people, and one guy's playing an instrument, and Boyle Booth, he stood there, and it just, you know, you just have to just about get in on something like that, amen? I mean, he just couldn't stand there, and the ship was going to be there for a while, so he just came down off the gangplank on the ship and went over there, and everybody was doing something. It wasn't nothing left to do but a tambourine. So here's General William Booth, the head of the whole thing. He just takes his tambourine, man. He just starts hitting that thing and shaking it. I mean, this one guy's singing. When he gets done, he preaches and says amen and deals with one or two people and comes back on the ship. This other famous man looked at him and said, he said, "Mr. Booth," he said, "don't you know you made a fool out of yourself today?" He said, "Here you are, a well-known man, respected. And you went over there with that group and played a tambourine." He said, "You should be ashamed of yourself." General Booth, as kind and nice as he was, turned to him and he said, "Listen, buddy, if I could go over there and stand on my head and play with my toes and somebody get saved, I'd do it. Amen." Now, you know what? He wasn't afraid of man. He wasn't afraid of the face of man or the countenance of man. He wasn't afraid. I'll tell you another reason why Christians don't bear fruit. Because of contentment. They're content. They're satisfied. You want me to tell you tonight, how do you know if you're backslidden or not? I'll tell you, it's real quick, simple, and easy. Most everything in my life is. I'll tell you how. If you're satisfied, you're backslidden. Amen. I'll say that one more time because some of you didn't catch it. The first time, I want to make sure you get it. You might want to write it down, but here it is. If you are satisfied with your spiritual condition, you're backslidden.
Amen.
You know what the greatest Christian said? He pressed that I press forward. He said, I'm not apprehended. I press toward the mark and the high calling of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that to try to get you all of you to run down here at the altar. I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with telling you what God wants us to do. But I'll tell you, the greatest curse on American Christianity today is contentment. They're just satisfied. They got their house. They got their job. They got their retirement. They got their hospitalization. Their family's taken care of. They got the little church to go to, fine little nice preacher to go to, good little group of Christians, a fellowship once a month, coffee and donuts after each night, Sunday night of service, good little meeting, dinner on the grounds on a regular basis. I mean, just as happy, as nice as you ever be. Just content. The Bible calls them lukewarm.
Yeah. Amen.
God said they make me sick. He said, I want to spew them out of my mouth. Why? Because they're neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. And I'll tell you, in the few churches I preach in, I see some people who are real content.
Amen.
You couldn't move them with a stick of dynamite.
He said, well, we're always going to have Dr. Ruckman come in here, just a substitute, Jim McGahey. Said somebody come from Pensacola Bible Institute. Well, we wanted to get Dr. Ruckman. He draws, and, I told him I didn't draw nothing but flies unless I don't bathe regular. Amen. I said, you come looking for him, you're going to be sorry because he won't be here. Amen. I said, we thought we were going to have so-and-so. Listen. It didn't matter if Jesus Christ stood there and preached. Some of them stand there with a contented look on their face. They wouldn't move if they had to.
Yeah.
You ever see an old contented cow?
Yeah.
You ever see one sitting out in the field just lay down under a shade tree? Already it.
Yeah.
Brought it back up to do it one more time. Just chewing the old cud. That's all right. It's got a cloven foot. It can chew the cud. That's the only kind. Amen. Hallelujah. You got one, don't chew the cud. Amen. And it sat down there and chew the cud. Just big old brown eyes. You ever see him? You ever see old contentment? That's the thing. A contented cow. You talk about contentment. That's a picture. And that's Christian people, American Christian
Amen.
People today. I mean, you get up there and preach on hell?
Yeah.
You get up there and preach on the second coming?
Yeah.
Doesn't affect them. You get up there and preach on people on preach on dying, they're going to die and go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
I look for them to head to the barn as soon as church is out. Yeah. Amen. I look for them to leave, and God is my witness. The trouble with American people and Christian people today, they're just too content. They're satisfied. They just sit back there and look at you. Oh, nice program today. See if we can do better next week. I don't like this channel. I'll change channel and see if I can get something I do like. Contented. Contented. Contentment. It's a curse upon Christianity today. And last of all, the reason we don't bear fruit is because of unconcern. We're not concerned. Did you ever ask yourself how much you do really care whether people die and go to hell? Did you ever just ask yourself how concerned you are about your own spiritual condition? You ever get upset?
Amen.
I'll tell you what's wrong with some of you tonight. You can't get upset. People make fun of me, say, well, you new preachers shouldn't holler and get excited. I can't help it. I can't help it. Dr. Ruggum said, be yourself. That's all I am. I can't be nobody else. Sometimes I got to shout and holler. Sometimes I tell something that comes out funny. I can't help it. I just got to be who I am. But you know what troubles some of you? You never do get upset. Some of you sit out there and infuse week in and week out. Dr. Ruggum preach. I preach. Oh, man, he shouldn't get so rabid about that. Good night. I mean, that's pretty rough. Amen. You've been thinking it. You might as well say amen, all right? Well, boy, if I was preaching, you ain't preaching, so shut up. Amen. Well, he's just on that too hard. I tell you, he gets so excited, so stirred up about that, he just hits that. Blah, 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 blah. People today, you know what's wrong? Can't get upset. They don't get upset. They don't get upset about their spiritual condition. They don't care. They're not concerned. You people, preach on people dying, go to hell. They don't care. They're saved. Their wife is saved. Their children are saved. They got it made. Sitting back in the shade. They're at ease in Zion. Let them die and go to hell. They don't care. Do you care? Do you care? Unconcern is the reason that a lot of Christian people don't bear any fruit. The reason some of you are not more fruitful than what you are. The reason you don't see more fruit in your life is because you're not concerned about your own condition. If you're not concerned enough about yourself and your spiritual condition to do something about it, then don't complain. Don't gripe. Don't murmur because you don't see any fruit in your life. You don't see love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. If you're not concerned enough about your own condition to ask God to help you do something about it, don't complain. Do something about it. Concern. Concern. Do you really care if people die and go to hell? Do you really? Do you ever get upset about it? Does it ever upset you? I'm sad for me to say, but it doesn't always concern and be as meaningful in my life as it ought to be. I've often asked the Lord and prayed on my knees and said, Lord, restore unto me the burden that I once had for people that were lost and without Jesus. Now listen, what I'm going to say, many of you could say, when I first got saved, the first few months I saved, wasn't nothing that meant anything but God and the Bible and church and people dying going to hell. That's all I cared about. That's all I was concerned about. But as time went on, you'll get over it. Yeah, you'll get over it. He's a little zealous now, but he'll lose that zeal when he gets as smart as me. Oh yeah, he's passing out tracts, but when he gets as mature as I am, he'll stop that foolishness. Oh yeah, he weeps over lost souls. He goes there home and witness. He'll get over that one of these days. The trouble is, some of you got over it. Some of you got over it. Some of you haven't shed a tear for a lost soul in so long, you can't remember how long it's been. American people sit in front of an idiot box. Watch something that's make-believe. And cry. And get on their knees and pray and can't even get the reality of a lost soul dying and going to hell enough in their mind that they can shed a tear. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you. You're welcome. Sit in front of a television. Laugh. Come to church, a preacher tell a joke. Well, that's sacrilegious. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's right, you don't even know who he is. Amen.
Amen.
Come into your church and give him a visitor's card and ask him to sit down. Amen.
Amen.
You wouldn't even know who he was if he passed by. You ever get concerned? You ever get concerned about your own condition? You ever look in your own heart? Did you? One time I talked to a young person who was very honest. And I asked him. I said, you used to witness? You used to pass out tracts? Why don't you do it anymore? The young person hung their head and thought for a while and looked up. Said, I just don't care. I just don't care. You know, a lot of Christian people are in that same boat today. They just don't care. They don't care about the self and their spiritual condition. They don't care about people dying and going to hell. Unconcerned. The Bible said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Are you a fruitful Christian? If you're not, something wrong in your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I've tried tonight to get some simple reasons why God's people are not fruitful. And tonight I want you to examine your own heart and see. As I said at the beginning of the message, I'll say right now at the close, I want to be a fruitful Christian. I'm not talking about just winning souls. I'm talking about bearing the fruits of the Spirit in my life.
love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Life's too short for it to be wasted. Life is too short for us to fool around and waste all of our life. Some of you, the hands of time have quickly slipped. You look back upon your life and it's like a vapor, it's like a dream. It seemed like yesterday you were just a little child. Now you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. Your life is winding down. Has your life been a fruitful life? Will you stand before God as a fruitful Christian? If not, why? Is it because you're lazy? Is it because you're wasteful? Is it because you're afraid? Is it because you're content? You've reached a spiritual plateau in your life and you're satisfied? Is it because you just don't care? Some of you tonight need to come and pray. Say, Lord, help me. I want to be a fruitful Christian. I want to bear the fruits of the Spirit in my life. I want to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. Some of you, Lord's hit tonight. The Spirit of God has taken the Word of God and convicted your heart. Need to come and pray. Father, pray that you'd bless the words of this message tonight. Not my effort, but the living, true, and eternal Word of God. And I pray now the Holy Spirit would bear witness to what I've said. Lord, may these people say that what I've preached because I love them. I've said because I love them. And I've done what I did tonight because I love them. Lord, I'd love to see every member of this church being a real fruitful Christian. I'd love to see everybody that's associated with this church be a Christian that bears much fruit. Because you said, herein is my Father glorified. Help them now tonight. Lord, you spoke in their heart. Show them what they need to do. Help them to have the courage to admit their sin, confess and forsake it tonight. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What number? 394. 394. The Lord spoke into your heart. I want you to come. Kneel. Talk to Him. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you can't bear any fruit in your life until you become a branch as part of the vine, and that vine is Jesus Christ. The only way to become part of Him is to be born into His family, to trust Him. If you've never been saved, I want you to come. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But if you're a Christian here tonight, the Lord has spoken to your heart, come. And if you're lost, 394, as we sing on the first one. All. Think back of what my spiritual life was right after I got saved. I tell you, I rejoice in my salvation every day of my life. There's many times when I rejoice in it more than at other times, but I'm thankful for my salvation every day. I can't hardly start a prayer without saying, Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving me. And I look back and think what it used to be. And I think how God put such a burden on my heart for people and a concern that just burned inside of me like nothing I'd ever seen.
The nights I went to sleep, weeping and crying and asking God not to let my lost loved ones die in their sleep. Not to let them die until somebody could get to them and tell them about Jesus. And I think today I'd get on my knees and pray, and just like a Pharisee, I think I'll be heard from my much repetition. Instead of praying, I say a prayer. I recite a prayer. I don't want to be that way. I want to be a fruitful Christian. I want to be one that God is able to use. I want to look back on my life when I come to the end of the way and see some fruit that the Holy Spirit of God has borne in my life. Now, I know it's not me, and it's not you. The Bible said that if we abide in Him, then the fruit comes. The fruit comes because of the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Any good thing that comes out of a Christian life is because of Jesus Christ. Anything good that ever comes out of me is because of Jesus Christ inside of me. There's nothing good in me except Jesus Christ. There's nothing good in my life apart from God. The bad, I'll take credit for. But the good that's there, that's Him. Tonight, if you need to pray, the Lord spoke into your heart, I want you to come. We'll sing together on the second verse, "All to Jesus I Surrender." On the second. Come on. You're lost and never been saved. Come on, right now, while we're singing. Right now. Come on. You need to be saved. Come on. We'll show you how. Right now. Come on. We're going to sing the last verse. If you can't really sing it and mean it, then you need to come and pray. If you haven't surrendered all to Him, tonight's a good time to do it. Sing together on the last verse.
Oh.